and I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going to be going once again to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 20. 2 Samuel, chapter number 20, and we're going to begin reading down at verse number 13. 2 Samuel 20 and verse 13, when he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and to Bethmaachah and all the Beerites, and they were gathered together and went also after him. And they came and besieged him in Abel of Bethmaachah, and they cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench, and all the people that were with Joab, battered the wall to throw it down. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, "Hear, hear, say, I pray you, unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee." And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Art thou Joab?" And he answered, "I am he." Then she said unto him, "Hear the words of thine handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." Then she spake, saying, "They were wont to speak in old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel." And so they ended the matter. "I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri, by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from this city. And the woman said unto Joab, "Behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall." Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. We're going to stop there. Verse 23 starts a different subject and summarizes this whole section of the scriptures. Now, there's an interesting thing here in this passage. This passage to me is highly interesting. And to me, this passage is very useful to those in the church who are at odds with one another. There's dissension in the church, and people are upset, but they won't talk about it. They won't communicate. They won't try to make it right with one another, and they just let it fester, and they let it grow, and eventually it creates major problems. And it could have been a simple misunderstanding. So let's look at what happens here. Now, I'm going to use my knowledge of what the Bible says later in the passage to inform the beginning of this, okay? Because Joab explains to this woman why he's there. You know what that means to me? It means to me that he just came and started battling this city. He came and he started casting up this and besieging the city and getting ready to fight against it. And of course, the people in the city, they went to defend themselves. But the fact that Joab tells this woman why he's there, and the fact that she tells men within her city why he's there, indicates to me that Joab did not tell them why he came and why he was fighting. He came, he had an army, the people saw that, they closed the gates as was the normal self-defense posture, and Joab began to besiege it. Now, they didn't know who he was. They probably did not recognize him by face or by name. All they knew was here was this man, and he was beating on the walls. I say this because he has to spell it out for this woman. She's a wise woman. She would have known. If Joab had come and he'd come to the elders of the city and had said, "There's a man in there by the name of Bichri, the son of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and he's rebelled against David. But the fact that he had to spell it out and explain it to this woman, and the fact that this woman had to go and tell people what was going on, tells me Joab and the people of the city had no communication. Communication. Communication in the church, communication within a ministry, is critical. Otherwise, people will duplicate effort. People will go at cross purposes. They won't know what somebody else is already doing something that they're doing. And it falls to the pastor of a church to make sure there's communication at all levels of the church. The pastor needs to nurture an atmosphere where people believe that they can communicate freely. The pastor needs to be approachable. The pastor needs to be patient with people and give them his full attention for as long as they need his attention to get the communication across. There's nothing more disheartening to someone in a ministry, in a church, than to need their pastor's ear and can't get it or can't keep it. Can't keep it is worse than can't get it, in my opinion. That is, you're talking to your pastor, you're having a discussion with him, and somebody comes up and the pastor whoop, changes the subject and you're forgotten about. And it shouldn't be that way. Now, as a pastor myself, I understand the demands on a pastor are many. Sometimes the pastor is preoccupied with one particular issue, and somebody's coming by, and they have something about that issue, and the pastor needs to talk to them. There's ways of communicating those sorts of needs. There's ways of dealing with it. But you've got to make sure, as a pastor, that when somebody comes to you, and they're not coming to you just as a conversation piece, and they may have prayed long and hard and thought through it and battled over it and wallowed it, maybe even fasted over it before coming to you or me as a pastor. And for you to just brush it off and go talk to somebody else and cut them off in mid-sentence? No. I hope I've never done that. I try not to do that. But I have seen that happen. And it's disheartening. Communication. It starts with the pastor. The pastor sets the example of open communication in the flock. Now, people within the church need to communicate one with another, but the pastor needs to know what's going on most of the time. Now, there's some things the pastor don't need to know about. Interpersonal things that don't really involve the church, and things that doesn't need to involve other people in the church, then just settle it between yourselves, but make sure you communicate. Something that requires coordination of the church, or requires a vote of the church, or a vote of the deacons or men, or a council of elders, however you do it at your church. Different churches have different ways of doing things. And there's a word for that. It's called polity. Polity. Not policy, polity. It's how you conduct your business. It's how you conduct your services. It's the order of service, basically. Every church has a different way of doing things. Churches have constitutions and bylaws. Those govern meetings and such like that to a degree. Some people have said use Robert's Rules of Order. Well, Robert's Rules of Order are Robert's Rules of Order of Parliamentary Procedure are intended for far more complex environments than a local church. And I know the Christian Legal Association, Christian Law Association, does not recommend using Robert's Rules of Order in their constitution manual. They have a manual for church constitutions. It's very, very thorough and very, very well written. And it's an excellent template for any church to put together for bylaws or for a constitution. And there are differences between the two. And you have to have that as part of your nonprofit status. You have to have some written document that can be read by a court, and precedent can be set based upon the document that the church has put together. And when people join the church, they agree to abide by. They may not agree with every point of doctrine of the statement of faith, and they may not agree with every point in the Constitution, but when they join the church, they're saying they'll live by it, whether they agree with it or not. That's the fact. And that is to provide order in the service. And each church has its own polity. And that's okay. It's okay for churches to do things differently. But you need some regulation when it involves the church. And however your church does it, then you need to do that whenever communication of that type is required. You know, things like, well, we need to put a roof on the church. How are we going to do it? Who can we appoint to handle this matter? Who's going to take care of making sure the appropriate contractors are called and everything's ready to go? You know, that needs to happen, and somebody needs to be in charge of it and needs to have the ability to make decisions of it. Everything can't be brought before the church to have a vote. Sometimes you have to vote to let somebody just handle it, and then you have to trust their decisions to do that. But communication, committees like that need to communicate back to the church and say, here's the progress, here's how that's going on. And, you know, I'm not the expert on communication. I'm not. But I've learned a few things in my few years here. In my few years on this earth, I've learned a few things. And one of those things is clear, concise communication is essential for church unity. You want unity in the church? Then the members of the church need to feel free to communicate, whether that's fellowshipping with their fellow church member, whether it's participating in votes and discussions about votes, say, like, for instance, what to do for Sheraton. That is something that the church needs to take up as a body. And so people need to feel free to communicate, feel free to express their opinion, whatever that opinion might be. And people need to be okay with disagreements. This is the hardest part of communication, is dealing with the situations that will arise when people disagree with what you've said. Because, you know, I don't agree with everything I've ever said, much less everything somebody else has said. You say, what do you mean you don't agree with everything you've always said? You don't always agree with everything you've said in the past. It's called growth. I look back and I see things that were just flat out stupid that I did. And I've learned. I've learned a few things. And I've learned and corrected, hopefully, and applied myself to better myself. That's the idea. You're supposed to improve. You're supposed to grow. You're supposed to continually test yourself and get better at things. And communication is one of those things. And understanding that people are going to disagree with you. It's what you do with that disagreement that will set things right or set things wrong. There are some people that cannot stand people to disagree with them, and they have to prove themselves right. I have been that type of person before. I have been that type of person that I always had to be right, and you had to agree with me on things. If I made a statement, you better agree or I'm going to prove you wrong. And I've learned that that is not a good way to be. That is just the way of contention. And contention is a disease. Always being contentious. Always finding some little fault with something everybody says. Do you know the type? You probably do. I certainly know the type. I used to be the type. I used to be that way. I'd find fault with everything. I'd look and I'd find fault. There's a few instances that I could bring up, and I'm not going to, because I know some of the people involved in those instances still listen to the radio. And so I'm not going to do that. It doesn't matter. And that's, you know, there was a time that I would have brought it out. And if it hurt somebody's feelings, I'm sorry. But I'm not that person anymore. It's okay for me to not prove somebody right. It's okay for me not to correct somebody's seeming mistake and let it sit. There's some things worth correcting. There's some things, just leave it alone. It ain't, you're not going to change their mind anyway. Just leave it alone. Keep the peace. And each situation's different. That's the hard part of communication, is learning the best way of getting somebody to at least understand your point of view. They may never agree with you. I know preachers that there are certain subjects that I disagree strongly, but I'm not going to argue with them. I told somebody years ago, we were talking about a particular point of doctrine, and I said I was against it. I said, you know, I don't believe that. And they looked me straight in the eye and says, well, your pastor does. I said, well, that's fine, but he's my pastor, and I'm not going to correct him. The Lord will do that. Now, if he asks me what I think about it, I'm going to tell him. But I'm not going to just go up and start an argument with my pastor. That's wrong. That's not the way it ought to be. That's just flat out wrong. The respect of his position demands that I respect him, even if I disagree with him. And that's hard in this day and age. In this day and age, everybody seems to be an extremist. No matter who you talk to on the street or on the highway or in the Walmart or the Target or the Lowe's or the Home Depot or wherever you talk to people, Ace Hardware, go up to Sapphire and go into McNeely's Ace Hardware up there and talk to folk, and you're going to find a lot of different opinions. Because there's folks from Lake Toxaway, there's folks from the country club up there, there's rich folk, poor folk, contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and everybody intermingling. It's a interesting cross-section of people that go through that store in particular. You talk to people, you're going to find people you disagree with, strongly disagree with. And you got to be okay with it. Partly because you're supposed to be a witness to them. But secondarily, you got to pick your battles. There are things to disagree about and let it go. And there are other things that you need to make your stand and stand your ground firm. Like the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. Like the fact that Easter is about the resurrection. Those two things I will talk about with people that I know disagree with me. If I see that I'm not going to change their mind by my words, maybe I can change their mind by my actions and by my humility and by meekness. Now, this world does not respect meekness that much. But this world does respect calm. I found that out when I was in college. I had a college roommate that he looked at me and said, Lamar, you're a dangerous man. And I said, Kenny, what are you talking about? His name was Kenny. He was from New York City, from middle of Harlem, right in the dead center of Harlem in New York City. Nicest guy you'd ever meet, but very different. Very different culture from the way I was raised. Very different. A lot of different standards. But one day he came up to me and said, Lamar, you're a dangerous man. And I looked at him and I said, Kenny, what in the world are you talking about? He said, you're dangerous. I said, why do you say that? He said, where I come from, people like you, they're the ones we have to watch. I said, what do you mean people like me? He said, you're too calm. I said, I'm what? you're too calm. I said, what do you mean? He said, where I'm from, the people who stay calm, they're the ones that will pull out the 9mm and blow you away. And I understood then. I understood. Different cultures, different ways of raising, different backgrounds. But we were able to communicate. We were able to communicate. And communication here at Abel could have saved a bunch of effort. And they finally get the communication. The lady, the wise woman, she says, what is this all about? Now, none of the men would. None of the men would approach Joab like that. And I mean, they were besieging them, and I guess they were worried about getting shot. So this wise woman, she pokes her head out and says, what is going on? You Joab? Yeah? Come here, I got something to talk to you about. Okay? And they talk. And she makes a deal. She says, what are you here for? He said what they were here for. And then they went about, and Sheba, the son of Bichri, was slain. And the situation was resolved after communication. Honest, forthright, candid communication. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.